Well, brothers and sisters, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and take them and turn to the book of Revelation. If you hit the index, you've gone too far. The book of Revelation, chapter 2. Chapter 2 will be in verses 18 through the end of that chapter today. While you turn there, I'll say a few words of introduction. We live in a culture of toleration, perhaps more than any other time in history that we could find in the West. It permeates us. Some of you, many of you, have lived through great changes. Just in the last 20 years, we have gone from seeing things that were completely unacceptable come to be completely acceptable. Whether it's homosexuality, whether it's relationships, whether it's things that are permissible in courts, whether it's speech, whatever the case is, we've seen great changes, and the only thing that's intolerant today is being intolerant. The only thing that is intolerable in our culture is having a view that you believe is definitive. Everyone speaks of not judging. Everyone speaks of having no categories for right and wrong. And we can just imagine what the next generation will face, can't we? As the snowballing and toleration continues, what will the future sins be for our children and our grandchildren? It will perhaps be much harder to be a Christian as the decades continue. But today we come to a church wherein Christ speaks to their toleration. And we come to the church of Thyatira. But before we read our passage and hear what Jesus would say to that church in history and the church universal, let's pray. And let's ask for His help once again, then we'll read the text. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we find in ourselves a wandering. And so, Lord, we do pray. Come and ground us in the Word of Christ, that we might hear with ears. Come and give our hearts the ability to not only hear this Word, but also take it in. And we pray, Lord, that You would come and change us for the glory of Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 18 through the end of the chapter, hear the word of the Lord. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works, and I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am He who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden, only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. and he will rule them with a rod of iron. As when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. And I will give him, and he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our God endures forever. May he write its truth on our hearts. Well, brothers and sisters, today I have a proposition and 2 points. The proposition, Christ calls us. Christ calls us to not tolerate evil. And Christ calls us to hold fast. Christ calls us to not tolerate evil. And Christ calls us to hold fast. See how the Lord opens this letter in verse 18. He says those words, "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write." Christ calls us to not tolerate evil. We've seen 3 churches. We've seen Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamum. Ephesus lacking in love. Smyrna, the faithful church. Pergamum, the church that has gone into worldliness, which Christ has drawn his sword against. And in many ways, as we come to examine the third church, Pergamum and then Thyatira, these 2 churches are both struggling with much of the same thing, worldliness. Now, Thyatira, so you know, is of the 7 churches, is perhaps the least important of the cities. It is located about 40 miles southeast of Pergamum on the road of Sardis. It's a well-known trade city, and today there hasn't been much archaeological excavation done because of the model town of Akasir is sitting on top of it. And so since it has a city founded on it, there's not a lot of archaeology going on. But we do know a fair amount about the trade of Thyatira. For instance, even if you go in Acts chapter 16, verses 14 and 15, you see the woman Lydia. And the woman Lydia, she is a seller of purple, and it tells you that she's from Thyatira. Now, it is perhaps possible, as you research this city, that emperor worship wasn't as great as in the other cities. But they did have their chief deity, which they worshipped in Thyatira, was Apollo, the sun god, who was the son of Zeus. And which brings a lot of interesting connotations whenever you hit verse 18. But I want you to grab that this church is being brought and led into a place where they're being tempted to join with the idolatry of their culture. And Christ speaks to them these words. Hear what Christ says and how he introduces himself in verse 18. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, he says, "The words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze." The only time Christ refers to himself with this title in Revelation, the Son of God. In the context, Apollo would have been declared the son of Zeus, the son of God. And here Christ sets himself opposed to the cultural deity Apollo. And he says that I am actually the true Son of God. And hear what the true Son of God says to this church. He defines himself with 2 other phrases. You see him. Who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. Not only he is the Son of God, he's majesty and divinity and the fullness of that title. But he's the one who is the judge of all the earth. His eyes can see into the darkness. Flaming eyes. His feet, burnished bronze. He's able to judge all. He sees in the darkness. He sees what's going on. And he's able to pronounce judgment upon what is happening. And just see his judgment. Verse 19. Jesus says, I know your works, your faith, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. Just hear those first words. I know. Christ's eyes peering into the darkness of Thyatira and peering into the church itself with their own idolatry, which we'll see. He knows them. Jesus knows you. But He doesn't simply see the bad and the ungodly. He sees the good. And Christ is not unjust as to overlook your works of faith and love that you've done in His name. And though this church, as we'll see, is perhaps wrestling greater than any of the previous churches thus far, just hear His commendation. He knows their love. They have the chief gift of God. 1 Corinthians 13, they have the orthopraxy in its fullness. They have love for one another. They have faith, whereby they have the thing that Ephesus lacked, love. They have the faith that Smyrna had, which is holding fast faithfully the word. And they have the service. They're patiently enduring. They're loving one another. They're caring for the body. It's a lovely description of the Christians, isn't it? That they have love, that they have faith, that they have service, that they're patiently enduring all the evils. Wouldn't you love to have that said of you? Wouldn't you love for Christ to say, your love is evident, your faith is abounding, you're patiently enduring things for my name? It is a lovely commendation, but it's furthered. Do you see what Jesus says in verse 19? That last phrase, the and. You have all these things, love, faith, service, patient, endurance, and that your latter works exceed your first. You're growing. Your Christian life and your service, they're all growing for Him. Don't you wish that faith which was first kindled and firing, that Jesus would say that it's even greater today than it was when you first began? It is a lovely commendation from Jesus to this church. It is a lovely church described. Would that our lives weren't such an ebb and flow, but would that our lives were what Christ decrees of Thyatira, that our faith were just growing and growing like a mighty fire. But Christ's eyes see all. And He sees not only their commendation, but He sees the danger. Verse 20. He says, but I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and eat food sacrificed to idols. See how verse 20 begins? Conjunction. You have all of these things, Thyatirans, but I have this against you. The conjunctions of the Bible. Christ doesn't simply commend them, He corrects them. And perhaps Christ corrects you and I this morning. But I have this against you. Notice, what is the content of what Christ has against these people? That you tolerate that woman, Jezebel. Christ reaches back into history, going 1,000 years preceding this own church, and reaches to Ahab and Jezebel in 1 Kings. And reaching back, you'll recall that Jezebel was not just a small figure. She was the daughter of the king of the Zidonians. She was a pagan queen in Israel. And she wasn't only a pagan queen, she was a persecutor of God's people and a persecutor of God's prophets. She sought to establish immorality and idolatry in the midst of Israel. And you'll recall that Christ, the Lord of the Old Testament, what He did to the first Jezebel, do you recall? He commissions Jehu and He kills her. And Christ, who does not change, comes to the church of Thyatira, and He doesn't have an apathy to idolatry and immorality in the life of His people. We often misconstrue Christ's patience for apathy. Christ is not apathetic. And just as Christ commissioned Jehu to kill Jezebel, so Christ comes to the church of Thyatira to destroy Jezebel. But notice the problem. The problem is not that Jezebel exists. The problem is that she is tolerated. Their love is great. Their faith is present. Their service is in progress. They're not being swayed by all the persecution. But not only do they have someone in their midst like Pergamum who is evil, they know they have evil in their midst, and they tolerate evil in their midst. You get the difference. If you just look back in the chapter, you'll see that verse 14, that against Pergamum, Christ said, "But I have a few things against you." You have some. There are some present there. Maybe you don't know it. But then in verse 20, "I have this against you, that you tolerate." Do you know there's evil in your life and keep it? It is not simply, it's no longer a sin of omission, it's a sin of commission. It's not that they didn't know it was there. They knew it was there. And they didn't kill it. Brothers and sisters, I've said it often, and I'll say it again, that big sins are just little sins grown up. If you do not kill small sins, know this, they will greatly harm you. And Christ speaks to His people about tolerating sin in their midst. Don't allow evil at your table. Don't dine with the devil. The language here is really peculiar, isn't it? Verse 20, it says that this woman, Jezebel, it says that she's seducing my servants. Literally, it's used for being beguiled. And the only time in Revelation that you'll find Christ's people being led astray is right here. It's used at the of Satan's work in chapter 12 and 20. It's used of the false prophet in chapter 13 and 19. It's used of the harlot of Babylon, all of which are in the context of how the world is beguiled by the evil one. But here we have the church being led astray by this woman. You and I need to be very careful about the craftiness of the world. The church in Thyatira is dabbling in immorality and idolatry. And do we not think that that exists in our day? I wonder if you are dabbling in immorality and in pagan thoughts and ideas and idolatry. Brothers and sisters, we confess continually that Christ is the King of the church, isn't He? And He subdued us to Himself. But He not only subdues us to Himself, He defends us and He destroys all His and our enemies. And that's what He says in verse 21. Notice what He says. I gave her time to repent, present, past tense. I gave her time. But she refuses presently. And so, behold, verse 22, I will throw her onto a sickbed. Notice that Christ offers repentance, but she refuses. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that today, if you find yourself in these verses, that Christ offers the same thing to you. He offers you repentance. He calls you to Himself. He says, Jezebel, you know how she ends, don't you? She ends with the dogs eating her. It's a terrible scene. And know that Christ calls you away from that. And He calls you to Himself. He calls you not simply to live separately. He says that the love that she offers you is not love. That the worship she offers you is not true worship. She's a liar. Christ says, I'm the Lord of life. I'm the one who sees. I'm the one who knows. And so he calls you to not tolerate her and to come to Him. But brothers, Christ calls us to not tolerate evil. And Christ, He also calls us to hold fast. He calls us to hold fast. Notice what He says in verse 24. Christ says, but to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Christ switches here, and you notice that He switches in the midst of the church He is addressing. He addresses part of the church struggling with idolatry and being led astray, and He addresses then the rest of the church that is holding fast to Him even in the midst of the pluralistic society in which they find themselves. And perhaps you're listening to this message and you say, Jonas, I'm not struggling with immorality, idolatry, Christ, I don't know of sins that I've allowed to sit at my table, which I have accepted. And so Christ speaks to you. And perhaps He's speaking to you. And He says, be faithful. Be faithful. He calls you with this encouraging word. He says, some who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan. And He says, I don't lay on you any other burden. He says, only, verse 25, first three words, only hold fast. Hold fast until Christ comes, until He breaks forth from the sky, until that final day when you will see Him. Some of you have held fast for decades, haven't you? Some of you have fought the good fight for decades, and you can say with the apostle that my salvation is closer than when I first believed. Some decades are harder than other decades as a Christian, aren't they? And Christ comes and He says, cling to Me. And amazingly, He changes the wordings here. In every other church, He has, after His correction, gone to straight in to he who has an ear, let him hear. But He changes it. He says, I want you to hold fast. And He says, here's why. Verse 26, the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. Christ says, hold fast. Why? Because of promise. Because my promises to you will not fail. Hold fast to me and cling to my works until you die, and I will cause you to rule over the nations. But not only rule. The picture here is Psalm 2, isn't it? You recall Psalm 2, what happens in Psalm 2? The Lord laughs at the nations who are plotting against against Him and His anointed. And then He says, I've set my king on Zion, my holy hill, and I've given him everything. And then Christ says, just as my Father gave me everything, Christian, hold to me, and I will give you everything. Christ says, just as God gave me authority, I will give it to you. We're so often tempted not to hold to Him. But I want you to hear the grandness of the promise. To receive all that Christ has, it is a fullness without bottom. These are oceans which are unfathomable and ungraspable. The God who speaks and the universe comes to be, here says, I'll give you everything that my Father gave me. Just hold to me. Just hold on. Hold on through the turbulence of this war. Brothers and sisters, we often forget what we read in our scripture reading, that our Lord is a man of war. And Christ coming to His church here calls the church not to be tolerant, but to be militant. The Christian life is a militant, fighting life. And Christ says, be militant, and I'll give you everything. Hold fast to me. The promise in verse 28 is peculiar, is it not? Did you see it? That Jesus says, and I'll give him the morning star. Christ begins these words that his eyes are like a flame of fire. And portraying that perhaps the church living in the darkness of their own culture. And here he promises to give them what in Numbers 24 is himself. The promise that he would give his own people himself. We often separate Christ's benefits from Christ himself. Brothers and sisters, I want you to grab this one thing. That in Jesus, you not only get the forgiveness of your sins. In Jesus, you not only get justification by faith. You not only get adoption into His family. In Christ, you not only get that future day where you will be glorified in a new body. Christ says in verse 28 that you get Him. In the gospel, we not only get the benefits of God, we get God Himself. And Jesus says, hold on. I'm going to give you myself. Brothers and sisters, do you know of anyone who makes promises like this? Christ has never failed at keeping His promises. It is a matter of a very short time before we enter in and see how grand the promises are here. Some of us, 5 years, some 10, some 20, but just in a few decades, we'll all know the truth of the promise of our Savior. Hold fast to Him. Perhaps you're not a Christian this morning, and these promises mean nothing to you. I tell you that you live in a very dangerous day. And not only is the world dangerous, but our hearts are dangerous. And Christ here calls to you that if you put your faith in Him, He'll give you all things. He'll give you Himself. And so, brothers and sisters, let us hear what the Lord says to His church and let us cling to our Savior in the midst of a tolerant age. Let's pray together.